First off, I must advise you that the sermon I'm about to preach is not my own. Really, it is one of the good Dr. Martin Luther himself preached it at both Wittenberg and Augsburg around the year 1524. And I also ask you to please note that I have edited some of this sermon to both today's language and to the time permitted. This is for your great benefit of understanding, and sometimes Luther's sermons could last a couple of hours. Now, I have several volumes in my study here of Martin Luther's sermons. We've been studying Martin Luther on Sundays during our adult Bible class. We finished today. And the Reformation, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, is coming up next month. So this may not be the only one that I'll preach to you from the good Martin Luther, but it certainly seemed appropriate. And one other word of advice. This sermon is exactly for this gospel lesson presented before us today from St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. And the good Martin Luther summarizes this gospel text this way. He writes, "Through the mercy and grace of God, all sins will be forgiven, however great they may be. But his sins will not be forgiven, he who will not forgive his brother, as Christ has taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we also have forgiven our trespassers." So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, hang on. This gospel or parable Christ our Lord spoke in reply to St. Peter, to whom he had just entrusted the keys to forgive or to retain sins, when Peter asked him how often he should forgive his neighbor, whether seven times was enough. He answered, not seven times, but 70 times. Seven, and Christ related this parable, and with it concludes that our Heavenly Father will do unto us if we don't forgive our neighbor as this king did unto his servant who would not forgive his fellow servant a very small debt after the master had forgiven him so great a debt. We've often said that the gospel or the kingdom of God is nothing else than a state or a government in which there is nothing but the forgiveness of sins. And wherever there is such a place in which sins are not forgiven, no gospel, no kingdom of God is to be found there. Therefore, we must clearly distinguish between these two kingdoms from each other, where individuals forgive one another, and a place where we do not forgive our neighbors his sins. And we must distinguish rightly whether our individual rights are demanded. I got my rights. Or our right is pardon. I hope you'll forgive me. Please. In the true kingdom of God, where God rules with the gospel, there is no demand for individual rights or any demand for what is due, but all is pure forgiveness, pardon, and giving. No anger, no punishment, but all is pure brotherly service and kindness. Now, our civil rights are not abolished. For this parable today does not preach anything about the kingdom of this earthly world. Only in the kingdom of God. For thus St. Paul told the Romans, pay what is owed, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. This is necessary so that this world may not become worse than it already is. It's a protection of sorts against wickedness. Therefore, the civil government must be tolerated, not for the citizens of heaven, but so that people may not fall deeper into hell and make matters worse. The aim of this gospel today is to describe to us forgiveness for both parties. First, the Lord forgives the servant all his debt. Then he demands of him that he also, like manner, forgive his fellow servant and pardon his debt. This God demands of us, and thus his kingdom will stand. No one should allow him or herself to become so angry and wicked as to not forgive one's neighbor. Remember, it is written, 70 times you'll forgive your neighbor. Why? Because Christ has already done the very same for you. In that he began and established a kingdom in which there is nothing but grace. That is to endure forever, so that every little thing, as often as you yourself sin, may be forgiven. Because he has sent out his gospel not to proclaim any punishment, but only grace. Sweet grace. Now, no matter what effects or determinations come from the government, whatever persecution may befall you, rise or fall, you will continue to have grace. But God will continue likewise to require of you to forgive your neighbor, or else you will not be in his kingdom or enjoy this gospel promise. So to whom then is this gospel to be preached? To those who feel distress like this servant does. Look at how he feels, as it is written. The Lord has compassion on his wretchedness and gives him more than he desires. But then look what he does to his servants. He holds on to his rights and his demands, and he requires payment. And when the servant cannot pay, he places him into prison. Now it's really going to get bad. This is not a lighthearted or joyful sermon, my friends. There's nothing here but seriousness and the most terrible of speech. The unforgiving servant was reported to the master, for nothing remains hidden in the sight of God. Summoned to the master, he then pleads for grace. He makes promise he has no ability to pay. He is worthless. For thus it is between God and me and you, when and where God wishes to summon each of us, he sends forth the preaching of the law. By what we learn, what we owe to the master. When God says, you shall have no other gods, but honor only him as God and love him with all your heart and trust him alone, this is the reckoning. The summoning of God is, which is making us pay all what is owed. Have you not heard so many times in your life now that God exclaims to you, his dear children, do you not see what you are required to do? You are to fear, love, and honor God alone, and trust only in him, and hope for the best. But you do just the opposite. You are God's enemy. You do not believe in him. You only put your trust in other worldly things. To sum this all up, you do not keep one single letter of the law. Period. Now, when our consciences hear such things as these, and the law thoroughly comes at us, then we see our duty in that we have not done it. And we perceive that we have not kept a letter of it. And we must confess we have not believed or loved God for even a single moment. What will the Lord do when the conscience is thus led captive and then confesses that it must be lost and becomes anxious and fearful? The Lord says, sell all your possessions, all that you have, that payment may be made. For punishment always follows sin. Payment must be made. God requires it. It is not sweet nor friendly, but brings with it bitter, horrible punishment and delivers us to Satan, casts us into hell, and leaves us in punishment. Now you are in distress. Here then comes our Lord Jesus Christ, and he sympathizes because the servant, you and I, are now weighed captive and bound in our sin. And in addition to this, we are such a fool as to want to help ourselves, looking for no mercy, knowing nothing to say of grace, and feeling nothing but sins which press on us oh so heavily. And then we know no one to help. This is where then our Lord has mercy on us and sets us free. The gospel comes to you and says this morning, not so, my friend. It will do you no good for you to torture and torment yourself to madness. Your works accomplish nothing, but God's mercy does it all. He has compassion on your affliction, and he sees you as a captive in such anguish, struggling in the mire, and that you cannot help yourself out. He sees that you cannot afford to pay the debt that you owe. Therefore, he forgives you all of your debt. It is nothing more than pure mercy. For he forgives you the debt not because of your works, not because of your merit, but because he pities your cries, your complaints, and your humiliation. This means that God has regard for a humble heart. As the prophet David said in Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So it was with the Egyptians. as it was with the destruction of the world by the flood, so it was with the five cities, even Sodom and Gomorrah, as it were with all the Old Testament who were punished. These terrible punishments will also now come upon those who hear the gospel and do not receive it. So this servant in the gospel today is cast off and must pay what he owes. This means that he must endure the pain and consequences, but he who endures the pain for the debt will never be saved. For to sin belongs death. And when one dies, he dies forever, and there is no more help nor any salvation for him. Therefore, let us receive these things as a warning. Those, however, who are hardened and will not hear, oh, they will still guard against it. This is an elegant, comfortable gospel, and it is so sweet to the afflicted conscience because it contains nothing but the forgiveness of sins. But for the stubborn heads and hardened hearts, it's a terrible sentence. This gospel belongs to those who have held the faith. For the Lord has had mercy on him and forgives him what he has done. He must without a doubt be a Christian. Hence, this is not a punishment for the heathen, neither discipline for the common crowd or those who hear the gospel without a care to understand it. And it is not for those who do not live according to it. Thus we have the sum of this gospel. My friends, you now know what the forgiveness of sins is. It is something that sticks in the heart and lies still there. Whereas it is the whole kingdom of Christ, which lasts forever without end. For as the sun shines and gives light nonetheless, although I close my eyes, so this mercy seat or forgiveness of sins stands forever. Though I fall, and I see the sun again as soon as I open my eyes, so I have the forgiveness of sins again when I look up and again come to Christ. Therefore, we must not make forgiveness so narrow as the fool's dream. This is what is said in today's gospel. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.